Hey, explorers, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Eat, Drink, Explore podcast. My name's Day.
And I'm Phil. Consider us your guides to the best places to eat, drink, and explore.
This season, we're road tripping and discovering places that we think you should check out too.
We release episodes every other Wednesday.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, take a moment and check out our online shop. All purchases from our shop help keep this podcast free.
Please don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Now let's get started. Okay, so explorers, in today's episode, we visit Stanzi's Country Ranch in Peabody, Massachusetts, right downtown off of Main Street, and we bring along Andy Nazaro with us to try and sample a few of their more popular dishes. So Andy runs the Instagram page, Andy's Local Spotlight, and he also runs the Facebook page, The Local Spotlight.
My name's Andy, and I run Andy's Local Spotlight. Andy's Local Spotlight is a series of social media pages I started really just with the focus of helping small businesses and local businesses primarily succeed kind of during this time with COVID, right? We know for a fact that there's a ton of small businesses in danger right now. What sparked me in order to get this started is the fact that I ran by three small businesses every time I ran near my house. One of them in particular is called the Riverview Restaurant. I've legitimately been going there since I was 6 years old. Shout out to the Riverview Restaurant for having the best chocolate chip pancakes in the planet. I'll argue with you about that all day long. Those are my favorite, hands down. But what I saw was these businesses were gradually getting slower and slower. Certain modifications had been made to kind of make do with COVID, but I was worried about them. No one wants to see a restaurant they've been going to since they were six shut down at all, right? So I came home from the run, I'm all sweaty and gross, and I was talking to my wife, and I said, hey, Jen, you know, I really want to do something to try to help these small businesses. What do you think I should do? And my wife being my wife, well, your face is always buried in your phone, kind of being a wise ass, but you know, she's right. And then she also said, you just graduated with a degree in marketing in August. I said, okay, great idea. I like social media. So I said I would start a Facebook page. So initially, Andy's Local Spotlight was really going to be kind of a hyper-local sort of Facebook page, really focusing on Billerica, Chelmsford, Bedford, a few other towns in the area, where essentially all I did was talk about my visits to the place and then visit places based off the recommendations of my friends. And it started out like that, but very, very quickly, I'd say within a month, it grew to about 500 likes. 2 months, we're at 1,000 likes, and it's been growing ever since, which is awesome. You know, it gives the businesses that I spotlight a larger audience, and I've had some feedback where that it legitimately helps them, which I love that. I think the community aspect of doing this is probably my favorite part. So very shortly after I started the spotlight, somebody said, hey, how come you don't have an Instagram page? And I hadn't thought about that yet. Again, just kind of thinking it would be more hyper-local than anything. So I started the Instagram page at someone's suggestion. And from there, it's just grown exponentially. So long story short, Andy's Local Spotlight is a free service that is built specifically to help local businesses just get a little more attention.
That makes perfect sense. And I'm honestly, I think having local people who just are so passionate about small business and their community is what this world needs right now to go round. Like it literally needs us right now to go round, because there's so many other entities that we can't really trust to have our back. And I think you have to go back to your roots, to your community, to the people who support you. And things like Andy's Local Spotlight is one of those things. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
So the first couple things that came out when we got to the restaurant was the mac and cheese with the cavatappi pasta. We had the alligator bites with the Creole remoulade. We even had like a kickin fried chicken Sammy that had jalapenos and chipotle aioli. And then there was the pulled pork sandwich that was like slow roasted, sweet sugar marinade with pork, coleslaw, and BBQ sauce. All of it was phenomenal. I can't think which one I liked more than the other. Did you have a favorite, Phil?
You know, the alligator bites were really good. I mean, alligator is so unique in that if you don't know what you're eating, you don't realize it's alligator. I mean, you may think it's like chicken tots or tater tots or like just a fried piece or whatever. Like, you don't realize what you're having. And then somebody's like, oh yeah, that's some alligator you're having. You're like, what the hell?
The way Chef Mike does it definitely is very inconspicuous. And that's something I loved about the alligator bites as well. I thought that it was something that we could probably give to Burrito maybe in a year or two, and he would honestly straight up think it was chicken nuggets.
Probably,
it
yeah.
It doesn't have a swamp fish smell or taste or anything like that.
No, not at all.
And the oil that he fries in is, like, so clean. We've been here twice, and the consistency was
the exact same thing.
Identical yep. both times. Mm-hmm.
Chef Mike is a relatively new addition to the Stanzi's team. We loved our first experience at the restaurant, and we're so happy to be back trying more items here. But asking the chef questions was something really important to us, and we got an opportunity to do that.
Chef, you need to tell us the story behind the alligator bites.
So Walt came up to me. He was like, "Chef, what do you think about alligator?" I was like, "Oh, I'm familiar with swamp fishes because I did Froglegs here before, and yep. you will have them come in here too again. So I went to Froglegs.
Okay.
So I know how to work with like a swampy fish. And then I was like, "You want to try it? And let's do it." And we sell, that's our highest appetizer, that is a nacho.
So one thing we really respected about Chef Mike was how consistency was important to him. He measures absolutely everything.
All my recipe says teaspoon, tablespoons. It doesn't say salt and pepper to your taste because everybody else's taste is different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I sit there and I count how much I put in there. Okay, I put 4 tablespoons of salt.
The mac and cheese, though, I mean, as much as I love the alligator bites, that mac and cheese, I got to give it major props. I mean, the cavatappi pasta, which is pretty unusual for mac and cheese, the homemade cheese sauce. I mean, this thing, you know I love my mac and cheese, and that is just phenomenal. That is awesome.
So the Kickin' Fried Chicken Sammy really did it for me. I love spicy. I love a good fried chicken sandwich. I feel like if a fried chicken sandwich is on the menu, I'm definitely going with it. And the Chipotle aioli really, really got me. All right, so Phil, what did you think about the pulled pork sandwich?
I think you missed out by not having the bun on that. That brioche bun really tied it all together.
I was trying to save my carbs. It was a
bad decision, Dave. Yeah, bad decision.
At the point we were at, we were way off the deep end. I just should have went with the freaking bun.
But I know both the mac and cheese and the alligator bites all like fried. And anyway, no, this pulled pork sandwich just was absolutely delicious. I mean, I'm pretty sure that barbecue sauce is homemade. I'm almost positive it is. And they really, really kill it with the sauce. The pulled pork itself, it's like, it has like the little sweetness. Like, I think it's like a sweet marinade, slow cook. So it literally like, it quite literally melts in your mouth. And then you tie it all with like that buttery brioche bun. I mean, it was really good.
That pulled pork sandwich killed it, and I would feel bad because you have bun envy, but that the brioche bun that it was on made that sandwich really, really good. It drew it kind of over the edge, but that fried chicken sandwich with that jalapeno and all that's a clear winner in my mind. I'm sorry. That's just like you said earlier, the clean oil that they use there, and then the way they fry that and the certain spices that he throws on that as well, blows any chicken sandwich in the area. I think it's top of the line, meets up with everything, and it's just, it's hard for me to say, but chicken sandwich by a hair.
I think honestly it's funny, it's interesting that we both agree, and I think the rule of thumb with if you're going between the chicken sandwich and the barbecue, it's like they're both winners, just pick what you like and you'll be happy, what you would normally go with, because you can't be
absolutely
just, like, if you're a pulled pork person, like, just go with it, like, it's not going to be any better than the chicken sandwich if that's what you prefer, because they do such a good job. So agreed. That is a really good point. That is a really, really good point. Okay, so the thing that I always suggest people try when they go to a restaurant that has this is, like, if you're going to a restaurant, or if we, you know what, let me just be specific to us. If we go to a restaurant that has fried chicken and waffles, it's a done deal. Like, yeah, it is a done deal. We're getting it. We just have this, we love
the fried combination chicken and waffles. Is
sweet and savory.
That's amazing.
Right up our alley. Plus, we're in this forever battle of like who's got the best one on the North Shore. And now we're like realizing things that some restaurants do that are like just specific and special to theirs. Yep. And something we've discovered is we love when restaurants use dark, like personally for us, we love when they use dark meat chicken for their chicken waffles. It just gives it a slightly juicier bite. And I don't know, contending like for us in our book, when we like put a dark meat chicken waffles versus the white meat, like we kind of lean more like this. I will say Stanzi's is one of those places that does white meat chicken breasts with their chicken and waffles, and it was amazing. It would contend highly in our book with a dark meat. And the reason I'd say this is because it's a very meaty fried chicken piece. It's massive. Like, I mean, it's massive. They definitely pound out the chicken. They make it nice wide. It's thick. And then on top of the waffles that they do, it's like a really thick sugar crystallized waffle. Like biting into the waffle and the chicken together, it's like a mouthful, but they complement each other. So I actually am, they almost got me over the dark meat chicken situation, and I started having more appreciation for white meat chicken breasts when it came to chicken waffles, for sure.
Funny enough, I've never had dark meat chicken and waffles before, but now I need to find it. So you're going to have to email me a list when we're done with this. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. The Stanzi's chicken and waffles, I thought, were amazing. I'm not the guy who rates anything like at a scale of 1 to 10, so I'm not comfortable doing it. But in reality,
do it anyway.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it right now. Okay, very good. Yeah. I'm going to give it like a 9.5, and it only gets the half point off because I want more. My inner fat guy just, there's never enough food. But between, like you pointed out, the crystallized sugar on that waffle totally does that for me. And then the slight bit of cayenne you get with the chicken and all of that, then the amazing, like the bourbon, I think it was bourbon maple syrup, right?
It was,
You're bringing back memories. I totally forgot about that.
I'm drooling a little bit right now. Like, I'm trying to eat healthy this week because the holidays kicked the crap out of me, but I'm probably going to Stanzi's for brunch on Sunday now. Right, my wife's going to be mad because I'm forcing her to do it, but it's fine. But then the butter, honestly, that butter, the cinnamon butter and everything else they put on that. I think Phil and I were talking, we'd eat shoes if that had enough on it. You know what I mean?
I would. Yeah.
And that's how you know a restaurant really, really cares. Like, they're everything to like the freaking butter is customized, you know, like who does that? It's amazing.
The details that Stanzi's puts into everything they made. I mean, again, hearkening back to having had conversations with the chef, but in reality, the details they put into everything they made, even the drinks, you know what I mean? Because it's wicked easy to say, here's a giant drink, here's a bunch of whiskey, some fruit juice, have fun, Lushes, and have a drink, right? That Stanzi doesn't even do that, right? Yeah. They specifically pick out the whiskey they want to try. They try new whiskeys. They kind of doctor the recipes, and it's all that, right? But the attention to detail and everything, every single thing they did there. And I had multiple things too the next time I went, and everything proved out to be just as good as the first time, honestly.
I will say, so this is a disclaimer I have to put out. The first time we talked about this restaurant on our Instagram page, we had some people who were PB locals who had gone the first time they opened and had, you know, varying experiences. And what I want to say for those people is give Stanzi's another shot.
They changed over kitchen leadership.
The chef is kind of new. He's not super new, but he's been, you know, he's a newer addition to the team, and it's made all the difference. Some of the menu items are similar to what they were, you know, day one when they opened, but he's really brought in his own twists and flavors to certain things, and he's elevated the menu more so than it was when they opened, you know, a few months back or whatever it was, a year ago. Absolutely. Give them another go around, 100%.
I got the same sort of messages, and I told everyone that, having talked to Chef, you know, he's not the original chef. And just like you said, he elevated everything and he put his own little twist on it. And with all the love and care in there, if you don't give Stanzi's a second chance, you're doing yourself and whoever you go to brunch or dinner or lunch with a disservice. I actually can't wait for them to go back when they get full blown. I mean, I'm not a country music guy really, but like hanging out there, having drinks, and some of that pulled pork and a chicken sandwich.
Dolly Parton in the middle of our meal. Like, we were like nodding our head, like, Jolie, like, it puts you in a space that you would not otherwise want to be in.
Oh, God. I mean, just down to the decor of that place with the, what was it, cowhide wallpaper on the poles? Perfect.
Yep.
I mean, it skirts the edge of the tacky, but it doesn't quite hit it. And it's awesome. It fits it very, very well.
Yes. I think the owner is my new hero when it comes to Pinteresting your heart out.
Oh, yeah.
I love Pinterest, and I consult Pinterest with every decor situation that I face in my life. And I will say, Pinterest fails is a real thing. And He talked to us a little bit about his experience, you know, putting pieces together, and he put a lot of thought and energy and research yep. behind this, and it shows, because mm-hmm. things that maybe shouldn't work really work in this space.
They really, really do. And it's odd to look at, like, kind of the juxtaposition, right? So, like I said, the rawhide wallpaper on the poles, it kind of looks out of place. And then you have the massive, gorgeous bar filled with just awesome booze. And it's made out of the license plates, right? So they kind of look dissimilar, but then you throw in the tables with all the country music album covers on it. And it, for whatever reason, like you said, Dolly Parton just pulls everything together, you know?
Yeah, it did it for me. It did it for me. I mean, I was Googling Kenny Chesney when we left. Like, it was a whole vibe. Okay, so we then had the pleasure of trying the eggnog bread pudding, which I'm not gonna lie, it was like a holiday item. It might not still be on the menu, but we enjoyed trying it. It was eggnog bread pudding with bourbon caramel sauce and then a side of vanilla ice cream. Perfect blend, perfect mix. It was amazing.
Oh, so I'm not gonna lie to you. After I took that first bite, I was super bummed out. We split it between the three of us because that was me wanting to, like, my inner 13-year-old going, no, I need this. It was that good. That bourbon caramel sauce, really, it's interesting. A lot of places say, oh, you know, bourbon this, bourbon whatever. You don't taste a lot of bourbon in it. This had almost the perfect measurement of bourbon in it because you could taste the bourbon, and I'm a guy who likes bourbon, but then it really didn't take away from the rest of it. And then, you know, a lot of people say eggnog bread pudding, and you're like, what the hell, yeah. You know, but that was the best dessert I had in December.
There are very few places on the North Shore that I would call up, order just a dessert, drive through and pick up for carry out. Yeah. There are very few. Stanzi's, this bread pudding is now on the list of those.
Absolutely.
That I would have to, I would literally do that for is Nine Elm Restaurant. They have a white chocolate bread pudding there and it's out of control. But this, another one, 100%. If I could order one thing and I have to jump in my car in my PJs and go, pick up, you know, really, really late at night, this dish would be worth it.
I agree with you completely on that one.
All right. So we need to talk about and break down this giant ass mason jar drink that we got. So, okay. So Phil, tell us what was in it.
So it was Neely's Family Apple Pie Moonshine, Saint Germain Liqueur, Apple Cider, and Fresh Lemons. And this thing was so perfectly blended and massive. Like, you need a party to do it. I mean, there was three of us there, and there was still, like, it still felt like a lot of drink. I mean, shit.
It was called Old Man O'Shea's Spiked Apple Pie XXL Jar.
Yes.
And you got it.
Another mouthful of a name. I mean...
Yeah, no, it was really, really good.
It was insane. It tasted like apple pie in a jar. Like, if somebody accidentally spilt some moonshine on, like, apple pie and you just, like, ate it like that, that's exactly what it tasted like.
Yeah,
that's a really good assessment. I like that.
Somebody got a little slosh and dropped the alcohol, and there you go. But, no, this was the best drink I've had in a while. I mean, like, for a mixed drink or a cocktail... I mean, you can't call it a cocktail. It was like half a freaking gallon, but that thing was awesome.
The funniest moment was when Phil, I think you ordered it because Phil's an apple pie guy, and it arrives at our table with three straws in it. And we're just like sitting at the table all the time. It's COVID, like hashtag COVID moment, right? We're like, okay, we're all not trying to die today.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, yeah. So finally Andy goes, okay, so I'm just not gonna, you pull out your straw. And you're like, so we're not doing this.
We need to go pour
this into our own cups. And I'm like, yeah, because we were all just staring at each other, staring at the big jar, staring at the three straws. So it's a shared item for sure. So, you know, I think Phil and I would have felt comfortable sipping out of it ourselves. You know, we might want it on our own. But if you're going to do it with a party or a group of people, you might want to get separate cups and maybe split it that way. Mm-hmm. I know in the beginning of like the stay-at-home order or somewhere about that time, they were doing mason jars to go home. I'm not going to sit here and claim that the XXL jar was one of those mason jars, but I know that they were doing mason jars to go home. So I don't know if that's a thing that will continue, if they have ceased doing it. Definitely something worth checking out. If you have a chance, we will be releasing pictures on our Instagram of us with this massive ass jar. So check it out. But on not only on novelty is it like something that you should order, period, just because it's hilarious to see come out, but it's actually really good and well balanced, like Phil said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super good. It's nice because you a lot of the times I feel like you go to a restaurant, you order a drink like that, kind of just for the story, you know. I mean, do what you will for the story, but this is one of those yeah, exactly, right? This is kind of one of those times we're doing it for the story or doing it for the gram, call it whatever you will, given our positions. It's well worth it. That drink was killer. I mean, just yeah, it was apple, it was good apple pie moonshine, basically. It was phenomenal.
Awesome. It was really, really good. Yes, we all agree. Okay, so something I want to talk about really quick, what we kind of leaned into the decor already, and I think every good restaurant has good decor, you know, embraces really good decor aspects, and they want their patrons to be comfortable. We felt really comfortable, a little too comfortable at Stanzi's, to the point where we really didn't want to leave, but they make you feel at home. Something that I loved was the room towards the back. So I think this is something that everybody has to experience.
And this is something we got to ask Rob, one of the owners, about.
No.
Oh, so the back room is like the place to be. Right, so we have the a big throne. Everything's huge. Instagram, mm-hmm. social media. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we did against the wall, we did these wings. And then on the other side we did the big throne. Pink throne.
Yeah, I saw the wings the other day.
We have a big Kenny Chesney throne.
Oh, nice. People must love that.
Yeah, they'll eat and they go back and they take a picture. But a big hit.
Given that they're a country ranch, the mural you're talking about specifically kind of mimics the stuff down in like Tennessee or Nashville area. I mean, the whole thing, from the aesthetics and then going to that room and everything else is just really, really well done. The decor, just, they killed it with the decor. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. I mean, even the raffle they have going on right now, it's a charity raffle, which is amazing. It's for a customized motorcycle from another company down in Peabody. And all the proceeds go to a charity, which I think is amazing, but that's hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, how cool is it to see a full blown, I think it's a 98 Springer Harley Davidson hanging on the wall? I know, like me being kind of the guy I am, slightly nerdy, I was like, oh my God, there's a motorcycle on the wall. You know, I got super excited. So, and I definitely took some pictures with it. Stancy's just all around is very, very well done, from the food to the decor to the people, even everybody we met working there just incredibly nice. I have to say that, you know, and it wasn't like that fake nice you get sometimes when like, oh, you know, they're going to talk about us or anything like that. This was full blown. I'm having a conversation with you and a genuine people.
100%. Something that I got really excited about, was how well they pivoted. You know, I know everyone keeps talking about right now because of COVID and stuff, but I think first of all, let's just go back to the windows that they have in the restaurant. I know it's cold right now, but during the summer, that was one of the restaurants that I felt super comfortable at. They had the ability to have open up their garage windows and really let fresh air breathe through that. And that was a design choice they did obviously well before COVID even happened. So it was really amazing that a restaurant in right downtown Peabody had the ability to have like a half indoor outdoor dining space. I also love how they pivoted, like, you know, with the mason jars and the beverages being able to order and take out, they actually turned the back room that we were just talking about where the angel wings are, that actually used to be a game room, you know, and with the 6 feet and social distancing, they decided to really, really open up the dining room and separate some tables so you didn't feel so congested and next to each other. And they actually opened up the back room space into another dining room, dining area that they could see people. So that's one of the restaurants right in downtown Peabody that we felt really comfortable going out to eat in, you know, and dining indoors. I know some people were a little sketched out in the summertime, but I just felt super safe in there. Everything's super clean from the restaurant floor to the bathrooms, and more than enough social distancing space to dine. And then those freaking garage windows, absolutely gorgeous, letting fresh air in. They did a really good job pivoting, whether they feel it or not, your customers felt it, you know.
Without a doubt. I mean, when we were talking to Rob, the owner, and he said, hey, do you guys want to open the garage door? And all three of us immediately, it wasn't even that warm out, but all three of us were like, Yep, we absolutely do. You know, we want to check that out. And like you said, and specifically you pointed out to the bathroom, which is one of the things I always, whenever I go into a restaurant, if I use the restroom, and I almost inevitably do, because I peed like a 90-year-old woman, I always scope out the bathroom, right? I think you have to. And if the bathroom's not clean, which is legitimately one of the, like your how you facing the customer, if that's not clean, that says a lot about the restaurant, right? The fact that the bathroom was as spectacularly clean as it was is impressive. But the whole, like you said, plenty of social distancing room, super clean, staff was superb. Everything about the place just rings true and correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're excited to go back. And you've mentioned brunch a billion times already. And Phil and I have not had the pleasure of going to brunch, but it's something that we really, really want to go and try out. What would you recommend people getting at brunch? And could you give us a reason why somebody should attend a Stanzi's brunch?
Well, so Stanzi's brunch is borderline an event in and of itself, right? So they tend to be themed, which is really cool. It just so happens my birthday is towards Christmas in December, so they had a holiday hangover brunch, which I thought was perfect.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So that's one really, really cool aspect of that. You know, it's nice. I mean, everybody likes brunch, and frankly, if you don't like brunch, you're a little suspect in my book. Brunches can be overwhelming. It's a relatively simple menu, what they have, but what they do have is amazing. I actually had the brunch version of the fried the chicken and waffles, just as good, and they threw an egg on top for it. And it was really, really well done too. I mean, not well done overcooked, but cooked very well. Their home fries, really spectacularly good. Yeah. I was impressed by that. My wife is a home fry snob. She's kind of the epitome of potato snob. I don't know what it is. Yeah. It's her whole family's like that.
French fry snob. So I can understand home fry snob. I totally get
absolutely.
It.
Yeah. Well, think about just the conversation we had about the French fries, right?
Yeah, I didn't talk about the French fries. Yeah.
We should have. Because those are good.
Let's talk about the
French fries. Yeah. All right. Let's.
Literally, they legitimately blew my mind. Like, still don't fully understand it, even though we had the chef break it down for us. they come out looking very toasted, maybe one would say burnt. I was definitely a little sussed out at first. I wasn't sure if I was gonna like it or not. I was not one of the first people to reach in and grab one. But after I tried my first bite, I just kept like, what is this? Like, what's happening? And shoving it down my throat. And we cleared every single French fry off the table. It was insane. Yeah. It was just perfectly cooked. And it was like, it wasn't sweet, but it was like a medium sweet. And then it had a really nice salty balance to it. It was bizarre. I wasn't sure what was happening. What'd you think?
Those French fries were, like you said, just that you came out, I think all three of us like said the same thing when we looked at them. You know, they were a little darker, like almost the French fries you get when you make them out of like dark russet potatoes, and that kind of, you're fully expecting like they cook too long, they're going to taste like crap, they're going to be slightly burnt. Complete opposite of that. I don't know where the color came from, to be honest with you. I don't care, because I shoveled them into my mouth by the handful. I think Phil and I at one point almost did you go yeah, sort of thing with our hand motions, because we couldn't control ourselves.
Over, yeah,
absolutely. One thing that I think speaks really highly of the French fries, and we all know, I mean, we're all adults, we've all gone out and had drinks and all that, so we all know French fries suck when they're cold, right? Yeah. Up until we had eaten those French fries, I'd never had good French fries cold, but we sat there for nearly 2.5 hours, 3 hours, and we were still picking those French fries up as they go. And it wasn't like there was cheese on them or anything else. It was straight French fries and whatever we did. We ate them cold, and we destroyed, and I mean destroyed that plate of French fries. Yeah.
One thing he did say, but like, I feel like there's more technique to this than what he's saying. Cause I hate when chefs are like, oh, all I did was this. And then you're like, yeah, but if I did that, it wouldn't come out the same. So like, tell me what you really did.
Absolutely.
But he did say that he soaked his French fries for several hours, and he might've said overnight, I can't remember, but he had them soaking for a really long time. And that really allowed them to be still like, have that basically fry well is what it sounded like.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a conundrum to us. Totally worth it. And if you don't finish your fries in the restaurant, you know, you are still fine. They will stay taste just as good the next day.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I can't. Good French fries, if they're cold, that mean, and they're good, that means they're amazing when they're hot, right? Kind of, that's how I equate sort of thing.
I want to thank you so much for joining us on this little adventure. We really appreciate you. We loved your insight. Sometimes it gets a little old just having my dining partner with me. So it was fantastic having a third wheel. I hope you will join us again. And I can't wait to release this episode.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. It was awesome. I'll be third wheel with you guys any day of the week. I had a blast between Phil being just as nerdy as I am and you and me having talk about wine people. It was amazing. I had a blast. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you really enjoy listening to our podcast, take a moment and leave a review. Your reviews make it easier for others to find our podcast on other streaming platforms. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. See you in the next episode. Our intro music was produced by Majid Shana. You can find Majid on Instagram at MajGotBeats. That's MajGotBeats.